No, I know I can feel it. Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. Just checking to see if my levels were, my mic levels were okay. I want to welcome you. It is Thursday, May 8th, 2025. Three quick announcements real quick before we go to Steve Quayle, with the world essentially on the brink. New Pope, eh? For the Catholic Church. Interestingly, from America, what do you think about that, folks in the chat and folks listening on X? What do you think of that? Interesting. A lot of stuff there. Obviously, things we already know domestically, Pam Bondi. James O'Keefe released a video or released information about Pam Bondi was covertly recorded revealing previously undisclosed information about Epstein. Okay, so there's more in dribs and drabs coming out. That should surprise no one. No one. Absolutely no one. Shouldn't surprise anyone, I don't think. But the announcements. So, first announcement, and I apologize, folks, and I want to thank everyone for being patient with me. Tomorrow night, we're going to be dark because of some things that I'm going to have to take care of or have taken care of during the day. So tomorrow's going to be dark. No program, no show tomorrow night. And the second announcement, of course, folks, remember Sunday is Mother's Day. So be good to your moms. And because of that, that leads me to the third announcement, which the monthly meeting of supporters. I had originally, and a mass email went out on this, but I had originally said it was going to be on the 11th because of last week I couldn't do it. Well, it'll be next week as previously stated, just a reminder because we're going to be dark tomorrow. So the meeting won't be tomorrow or won't be this coming Sunday because of Mother's Day. It'll be the following Sunday. And so those are the announcements. And the other real quick thing, please, folks, if you haven't done so already, because of the censorship against this platform, please do me a favor and subscribe to Rumble. Just open an account. Again, it's not very hard. It's free. Open an account at Rumble and subscribe to Rumble. And if you have any trouble with the incessant ads there, use an ad blocker or Brave browser. All right. With that, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, Gen 6, is with me tonight. We got a lot to talk about. And Steve, I do have, I sent Eric the video that you sent me. And it's queued up to the 110 hour and 10 minute mark. If you want that played at any time, I didn't have a chance to talk to you before you arrived. So, you just let me know. You know what video I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yes, I do. All right. Hey, and Doug, Daniel Holdings is supposed to be on with us. So if Eric doesn't have his email to send him the link, he's going to bring a special, you know, this is a screw up on my part. He's going to bring a special on all the weird stuff going with the Schumann resonance and all this stuff. And he's really good at that. So I hope you guys have his email. And if you do or don't, I can tell you what it is, you know.
Yeah, okay. We got it.
Okay, if you'll send it to him and bring him on, but I'll start this. And Doug, here's the reason why this is kind of an important night, because as we talk right now on the air, we're dealing with Pakistan, India, and now China and Turkey have also put their naval ships into the area around Pakistan, and let it be known that they will absolutely initiate all weapons at their command should India try and initiate a nuclear first strike. But it's also bringing in other nations that have mutual defense treaties with India. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is very perilous. And if you don't understand Turkey's position in all this, Turkey and Erdogan, or I think they pronounce the name Erdogan, but I'll say Erdogan, is convinced he's going to be the head of all the Muslim nations. He's going to be the caliph. And he has spent and embarked on a horrific, massive amount of spending to make Turkey's military really strong. And I believe, Doug, the count of Turkish warships in the waters off of Pakistan, India, and the Arabian Gulf and that whole area is 26. I'm trying to get the real-time intel on how many Chinese ships are there. But it's important, I think, that people truly understand how perilous this is. It's not a repeat of the last time India and Pakistan went to war. At that point in history, Pakistan wasn't armed to the hilt with nuclear weapons. One of the prime minister or one of the spokesmen for the prime minister said, the world will not need, I'm paraphrasing this, will not need to guess what our point is or where we've taken our stand. The whole world will see it. In other words, he's talking about a nuclear conflagration. And tonight's kind of a composite, a bunch of events happening. And so I'm going to bring Daniel on now, and we're going to talk about some really strange stuff that's happening and being censored by all of the intelligence agencies of the world. So, and then we'll come back after about the hour mark, and we'll go into the food issue, because the food issue is critical. It's beyond crisis. It's beyond dangerous. And notice this, the intentional starvation of the United States is happening right at the point where we are getting ready to be the recipients or the involvees, that's a new word, involvees, those who are involved in the whole nuclear nightmare that's now unfolding. Everybody's looking to the Middle East. Everybody's looking here, but they're not looking where you've got now a full armada ready to nuke each other. So with no further ado, hey, Daniel, thanks for coming on. And I want you to, if you would, lay out, hey, cool background, lay out what we're going to talk about tonight, and then just take it, because you heard the introduction. After you and I are done with this, we'll go into the food thing. And, you know, so sorry for the late hookup.
And Steve, it's good to be with you. Of course, it's good to be with Doug. I haven't been with you in a while. You know, Steve, you use the phrase conflagration of events, and I think that word's really appropriate, because we're seeing over the course of just, I don't know, weeks, this all of these things coming to a head. So you have the prophetic coming to fruition. You have, and those prophetic things are stacked up on top of one another, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. You have all of those things that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. And then you have, from a scientific standpoint, all this weird stuff. And I mean, it, Steve, I'm a science guy, and this is weird to me. The stuff that's going on today, these days, is amazing to me. And then you have, of course, all the stuff that they're throwing at us, like the food crisis, like the other things that are headed our way. And so when you use the word conflagration, I step back and I say, boy, there's not a more appropriate word, because that's exactly what's going on right now. And so when you look at all the things that are going on in the earth right now, it's really hard to start, to find a place to start, I should say. But I think what we'll do is we'll start where you and I started a discussion just last week. You and I talk often, and you had come across a video by someone, and you posted it on your website, and he was talking about the Schumann resonance meter, and he said, he's a geophysicist, his name is Stefan Burns, and he said in this video that he sent out a warning. He said this is very, very significant. He said it's very strange what's going on. He said that the Schumann meter, the Schumann resonance meter, spiked, and typically, he said, when you see a spike like that, you see very serious earthquakes in the earth, because the Schumann, for those of you that don't know, the Schumann resonance meter actually monitors the sun and the resonance from the sun. So, and the sun and the earth are magnetically connected, coupled together, if you will, electromagnetically connected. And so when something happens on the sun, such as solar flares and stuff, they typically have an effect on the Earth, and that leads to various earthquakes in diverse places and that kind of thing. So this was the warning that he put out last week. And so that was on, and I want to say that was on the 4th. Well, the very next day, there were blackouts in Spain, in Portugal, and in France. And then the very next day after that, I believe it was the 5th, Britain, the UK also saw some strange anomalies, they called it, on their meters as well. Now, at the time, I thought this was very, very strange because, okay, so we've seen blackouts in the United States. We've seen, for instance, a few years ago, maybe 20 years ago now, there was a blackout in New York, and it took down almost the whole, and Doug, you're from that area, so it took down almost that whole area. And so they attributed to one particular power station that went down, and it caused the cascading effect that took a bunch of other stuff down. But the funny thing is, with these blackouts, Steve, what they said was that it was a strange, how do they put it, solar anomaly. They called it a strange solar anomaly. And for the life of me, I have never heard of such a thing taking down an electrical grid. But that, in fact, is what happened. And so let me ask you, I mean, you're the interviewer, but let me ask you, when you heard that, because you and I talked about that, what were your first thoughts?
Well, my first thoughts are, I think we're experiencing a God-level event. And it's not just the manipulation of, let's say, all the high frequency or radio frequency. Let me just share this. The sun has more power than all of the earth and all of the fallen angels. And I think this is important. We're watching right now, ladies and gentlemen, something that has never happened before. And I want everyone to understand this, because I reached out to one of my scientist buddies and he said this: we're coming into the time of a plasma cloud right now, okay? A plasma cloud. And he said, I'm reading it so I don't get it wrong, it's 10 times the diameter of the sun plus a whole solar system. In other words, it's not a solar wind, it's a plasma wind. And he said this: and since modern Earth has never been through a plasma cloud before, no one knows what will happen. In fact, there are no computer models in existence to describe such an event. So we will have to wait and see precisely what will happen. So when I heard, imposed to them, by the way, Mr. B333 is one of the guys that's on top of all this. What a great website. He's a good analyst. But we're watching, in my opinion, Daniel, and everyone who's listening to the Hagmann Show tonight, we're watching events taking place that are basically going to rock the earth. And I mean that, literally rock the earth. I'm not talking about a concert in some profane desert. You know, we're talking about something that literally is going to get everybody's attention. So if you wouldn't mind, explain even your calculations on what happened, because, ladies and gentlemen, there is a event happening right now, and it's more than a pole shift. Everybody's talked about a pole shift. And the thing is that this is beyond that. And a bit of information, Doug, and audience: the Lucifer telescope on Mount Graham has been shut down, not by somebody saying, oh, we can't let the world know that, but the plasma field. Remember, this is interesting. The binocular telescope is an infrared device called Lucifer. And, I don't think that was by mistake. And they're having problems. They cannot get through the plasma with that electronic instrument because all of the massive amount of energy is fouling up their instruments. I thought, oh, how perfect. And I mean that literally. So I think it's interesting, too, that we have multiple warnings about, for instance, Cascadia. And Doug, I don't know if I sent you this. I think I sent it to Eric. Eric, will you put that one article up on the screen about the underwater volcano, please? Because this is something that I've been drawing people's attention to. I think it was probably the number three or four one I should. There you go. And I just want to read, Doug, you read the headline because I'm going to hold my voice so I make it through the show.
Okay. Daniel, can you see that better than I can?
No, I can't. It's in a okay, small
I'll do it.
Screen.
I'll do it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay, Doug. We got so much stuff to cover. And, you know, mile-wide underwater volcano. It's a mile wide, ready to erupt off the West Coast.
I got it now, Steve.
Okay,
if you
go
want
ahead.
To...
Read the first paragraph, if you would.
All right. Things are heating up hundreds of miles off the coast of Oregon, where a large undersea volcano is showing signs of impending eruption. The volcano known as, I can't pronounce that. Go ahead.
Axial Seamount.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I couldn't see it as opposed to pronounce it. It's located nearly a mile or 1.4 kilometers underwater on a geological hotspot where searing gushes of molten rock rise from the Earth's mantle into the crust. Hotspot volcanoes are common on the seafloor. But this particular volcano happens to be located at the Juan de Fuca Ridge, an area where two massive tectonic plates in the Pacific, or the Pacific and the Juan de Fuca plates are constantly spreading apart, causing a steady buildup of pressure beneath the plate's surface. So this is something to watch for. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is really something to watch for because right now, as Daniel Holdings, you, Doug Hagman, and I are on the air on your show, we have Mount Spur in Alaska getting ready to explode. But further on the article that we just posted, the reason I post the article so people know, you know, oh, you're just trying to scare me. People that say that, they're the walking dead. I'm just telling you, they're the walking dead. And people can be offended. At this point, who cares? Because the thing that people have to understand, when the preponderance of evidence, and you, sir, are the investigator, Doug, that's what you draw your final conclusion. That's when the verdict comes in. And what's problematic now is on the Juan de Fuca plate, that's obviously the region in the Cascadia subduction zone. And I want everyone to understand, when we made our film, and yes, it's a pitch, but if you understand the volcano movie we made, Cascadia, it's you know, the whole title is Yellowstone isn't the issue. Cascadia is a big one. We interviewed some of the smartest geophysicists. Okay, we'll go on from that. It's available for sale on DVD. And I'm apologizing because Vimeo, our platform where people can generally view on demand, has been screwed up. And in essence, we're now on Brighteon, and they can watch the videos there and they can pay for them. But here's the thing. Cascadia is the big one. And so what Daniel's talking about, I'm going to kick it right back to you, Daniel, is that we are having anomalies and we're having a conflagration. And also the other word is a confluence of them. You know, confluence is usually when rivers run together. But we're watching some strange stuff. And we're told in the scriptures there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And on earth, men's hearts are going to be failing because when you don't have a context of something that's been before, i.e. we haven't gone through a plasma cloud before, and the thing is that it's going to disrupt everything. And I'll tell you this, everybody, you must know this. Under no circumstances will we, the American public, ever be told the truth. And as Catherine Austin Fitz, boy, I'll tell you, if you want to get a good newsletter, I absolutely am amazed at her knowledge, her experience, and she knows what's going on. That's why all the food is being taken off the shelves. We'll get to that later on the show, because they're expecting what they call, the bunker boys, you know, and girls, are expecting some form of an upheaval, whether it's a solar storm, whether it's not only nuclear war, it goes beyond that. So what they're taking all the food away from the public, openly going in now to stores like Walmart and Costco, taking all the cheese, all of the eggs, and we'll have a video of that really pretty soon. But Daniel, continue on, because what people don't recognize is the sun really does affect us, and then you have the epitome of hell itself, in my opinion, Bill Gates of hell, trying to blame Elon Musk for, you know, killing people. And he's the grand, I'm talking, Bill Gates is the grand executioner of the human race, in my opinion. So, Daniel, you go ahead and run down your list, because we got to get as much data.
As much data. There's so much data. There's so much stuff to talk about, Steve. But I want to go back to something that you and I have not talked about. This, in fact, I just sent you this article or this video that I saw probably an hour and a half ago. So you and I haven't had a chance to talk about this, and you were just mentioning this, and it's very strange that you reached out to your science contacts about this. So this video it was a new video out by geophysicist Stefan Burns, and what he's talking about is that not just the Earth, but our solar system. If you understand, the sun is going through our galaxy in a circle, because you've seen the spiral galaxy of the Milky Way. So the sun is going through the galaxy, and all the planets are circling the sun. So we're all moving through this cloud that you talked about. And what we're doing is we're actually coming out of they called it the local cloud, which was a less dense cloud, into what's believed to be the G cloud. And both of those clouds are about 50 light years across. So it'll take, you know, more than our lifetimes to get through there. It'll take a couple thousand years for us to actually get through there. But the point is that this is what's mind blowing. I just did a podcast on my own podcast, not shaken.tv, and I called it The Shift. That's what I call the show, The Shift, right? And sure enough, what Stefan Burns said in his video after I saw it after I actually did my podcast, he said that we are about to experience a shift in reality, a shift in the way things are that we do things. And I was like, wow, that is stunning. And it's stunning because of all the things that I've come across this last week. Now, I want to go back to what happened last week. And if you don't mind, we reached out to one of your contacts, and your contact came back and he said that, the Schumann resonance meter spiked. And people were freaking out. They were going, what the heck is going on here? And so we saw all these strange anomalies. There weren't any real significant. There were a few earthquakes, but nothing really, really big. But something else was going on. And you reached out to one of your contacts, and he said that the Earth was knocked off its axis by 1/8 of a degree. 1/8 of a degree. Now, that may not sound a lot, like a lot, but I did the math, and 1/8 of a degree turns out to be 7.5 miles. And so it was knocked off 7.5 miles off of its axis, which would naturally change the rotation of the Earth and thus change the timing of the day and that kind of thing. But to let you know how mind-boggling that is, right? The 2011 earthquake off the coast of Japan was a 9.0 earthquake, and it knocked the Earth off of its axis 6.5 inches. It moved the island 8 miles out into the ocean, and it in no way was there the power of what happened last week with the Earth being knocked off its axis by 1.8 degree. I mean, it's mind-boggling that we didn't have any earthquakes, significant earthquakes at the time, but that's the point, that something very significant is happening. And then when I saw that video today, I was like, wait a minute, this explains a lot, because the cloud, the G cloud that we're moving into, they theorize, because we've never been here before, at least in our lifetimes, as I said, they theorize that it's thicker and denser. And so I want to go back to the gentleman, Mr. MBB 333, whatever his name is. He's called the Earth Watchman or something like that is what he calls himself. But so he's been following various strange anomalies, and he's been doing it for a few weeks now. But what he shows on his videos are lights as you're going down the road. Instead of being white lights, they're colored like purple or whatever. Or some lights are flashing off, and this is all over the world, flashing off and on for no reason. He's had like 1,200 reports of this within the last week or something like that. So very strange incidences like this. Car lights, car headlights flashing for no reason, car taillights flashing for no reason. So here's the point. That something is interfering with the electrical flow going to those light bulbs. And this is an easy way to see it. You can see how it influences a light bulb. But not only that, Steve, it is also influencing the color spectrum that we see. Because some of those, as I said, light bulbs have turned from white to purple or whatever other color that they are. It's affecting our visual spectrum. It's affecting our electrical spectrum, and it's affecting the magnetic spectrum. And it's just mind blowing. And so when I saw that video today about the cloud that we're the G cloud that we're moving into, I was thinking, well, that could be it. But one of the caveats that this physicist said is that it would be gradual changes, that it would take thousands of years for us to begin to see the evidence of changes. So I'm back to square one. I'm wondering what in the world is going on now. Go ahead.
I want to challenge that statement because, number one, I have access to different people. And they're saying they're watching in real time Vancouver Island moving. And with all of the stuff going on, moving, and they have orbital platforms, satellites that monitor the Earth. And so when it's like the Carl Sagan thing, billions and billions of years, I'm just telling you that the average person will not be allowed to know. And this is not an average broadcast. And I tell everybody from the day I'm on talk radio to the day I'm getting off it, just giving you a heads up, that we're watching now podcasts, not talk radio, but we're watching events taking place in real time. When you have this much crustal movement, the Earth's plates are moving. By the way, we had a pretty good size earthquake off of Peru. I think it was, 7.5? It was originally 7.9, and they downgraded it. I want everyone to understand, under no circumstances will you be given a heads up unless you prayerfully and carefully consider, those guys just talk anecdotally to scare us. Like I said, well, then you'll probably be scared to death when you see the real thing. So we're talking about events that are transpiring, that are cosmological, and that fancy word for out, not only out of our immediate planetary orbits, but we're seeing strange, if you will, strange color spectrums. And Doug, this is interesting because when you wrote Life is Like a Box of Chocolates for my book Xenogenesis, one of the most, this is important that people understand this about colors and about the God's rainbow, not the people that usurped it, but God's rainbow, as you know in Xenogenesis, Doug, as that those colors are spectral light forms of light. And one of the dying CIA major players, you know, and my friend, I haven't heard from him in a couple of years, but the man died, but he wanted to clear his conscience with my friend. And when you see that, it's in, I think it's, maybe chapter 13 in my book, Xenogenesis. And what he said is the whole reason, now listen to this, of chemtrail spraying. And I'm the one that started the discussion about chemtrails. There are people that are better experts on geoengineering than me, but they don't like to hear this part. And this was from an active duty deputy director of operations. You know, most people think that the head of the CIA's got the power. It's the DDoS's, okay? The direction of our directors of operations. And he said the purpose of chemtrailing was to destroy the life frequencies that God created after the flood. I'm talking Noah's flood now. And it was like a prison to keep the evil. It was like a prison outside to keep all those entities from coming inside. Now, why is this critical? Because what Daniel's talking about is we're dealing with different refractive indexes, fancy word. We're dealing with spectroscopic anomalies. And when you look at the different chemtrails, if the sun is in the west and behind the chemtrails, you'll see usually orange, purple, green. But they're destroying from this dying CIA guy that wanted to get his conscience clear. They're destroying the gates that kept these things out, and now they're coming in. So my question for tonight is, Mr. Holdings, Mr. Hagman, is it not reasonable then to assume that all of this strange weirdness, let's call it plasma clouds, light years apart, you know, 10 times the diameter of our whole solar system, then what's going to be released on our Earth that hasn't been here before? And I believe it goes directly to the book of Revelation, woe unto you inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down, knowing but his time is short. So There's barriers, but all the barriers are down now, in my opinion. So go ahead and answer that, Daniel.
Well, I need to clarify something. I wasn't saying that nothing is happening. Something is definitely happening. But Stefan Burns' explanation about the cloud that moving into may not be the answer to that. And I'm just grasping for answers here. But there is something definitely happening. You mentioned the Vancouver Island moving. And this is the kind of thing that happened in a violent event like the 2011 earthquake off of Japan. Something physical is affecting the Earth. And so what that physicality is, I don't know exactly, although there are a lot of candidates and the cloud would be one of them. But the other issue is this, Steve, and I was talking to another friend of mine, and actually he brought it up. You and I know that, and I want to go back probably a month ago, you and I were talking about Michio Kaku. And Michio Kaku was one of the few people that saw the results of the Google Sycamore chip when it started downloading all of this information from the quantum realm. And it freaked him out. It freaked out all the scientists of Google, and so bad that they closed their lips tight and they wouldn't say exactly what the message was that they had gotten from the quantum realm that they could not explain. So I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, and he said something very astute, although I don't think he understood exactly what he said. He said, Daniel, he said, I think that there is, I think they have somehow infiltrated the spiritual realm, and that we are seeing the effects on the physical realm that we live in. And I started thinking about that because, folks, if you understand this, the quantum realm that they are now accessing via quantum computers and AI is actually the spiritual realm. It is where fallen angels reside and other entities reside. And this is the realm that God protected us from, that he put up a veil, a barrier between us and them. But as you said, Steve, that barrier is gone. That veil is gone. They are now flowing into our existence, our 3D world, 4D if you count time, as Einstein said. So I think what we are seeing somehow on the Earth is the quantum effects of whatever that is that's coming into this realm, whether it be physical effects on, you know, the crustal displacement or the crustal plates of the Earth, the tectonic plates of the Earth, or the actual physical moving of various entities. But I think it goes right back, Steve, to this quantum realm, to the fact that that barrier between the supernatural and the natural has been breached. Is that far-fetched, do you think?
I don't think it's far-fetched. And Doug, here's where the Glyph Project comes in, everyone. And what we've been able to do, and I don't think this can set in, Doug, so if you can say it better than me, please feel free. But all through history, one of the things, the Book of Enoch, that God forbid or forbade, he forbid it because it was bad, is that, you know, men were never meant to read and write. It was a fallen angel that taught us that. But they don't use their ABCs and sing a song with a teacher on the blackboard. They've used symbols. They've used iconography. And when they communicate with their human puppet attendants and assistants, they use every form of communication. Because, again, I want everyone to understand, the Satan himself, Lucifer in heaven, Satan, Jesus called him the adversary, the evil one, he's the prince and power of the air. I mean, no offense, you can't like broadcast, without going through the air. Now, we'll get into that neural implants all, but I want to make this bottom line simple for people. What the Google, and also parallel running to Google, is everybody else went silent because they're running, the quantum computing guys are searching for parallel universes. So when they encountered, quote, intelligence coming from a quantum realm of another dimension, there's multiple dimensions, that freaked them out, because most of these guys are atheists. Most of these guys are agnostic. Most of these guys have made their lives making war on people that were people of faith, and now they're challenged by it. And that's why Michio Kaku actually broke down in tears, and he did. We put those videos up. So the Glyph Project, and I think I said this, Doug, on your show, that's my focus for as long as God keeps me on earth from now on. Because if God's people will understand they're being warned, this is by subscription only, that we know what's going to go on. But you know what? Even in some of the glyphs, the fallen angels are naming themselves. And Jesus, when he cast out the Gadarene demoniac, said, "What is your name?" We tell people how we can protect our computers. Real simple. They're wiped. Every aspect of any memory in the computer is absolutely wiped. And so we can take what they're saying. And guess what? They're fighting for attention amongst themselves. They're saying, and I'm sorry, but saying this, I'm a human, but they're saying how stupid those humans are. They actually use that kind of term. They believe the biggest lies. And in essence, they're saying, you know, I said this, one of the conversations we've shown some of the actual fallen angel glyphs on your show, but they shake their heads. They can't believe how easy it is. Okay. If you think stupidity repeats itself, you got to see what it is like from their viewpoint. Now, Jesus talked to us, and this is important, that we're going to see things we've never seen before. And if people would understand this statement of Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are our followers, is that he said, if the world won't receive, specifically speaking to, the Jews of his day, because Paul was sent to the Gentiles, but Jesus is primarily preaching to the religious people of his day. He said, if you don't believe me for the words I speak, at least believe me for the miracles I do. And you know what they did? They turned around and basically accused Jesus of performing miracles by the power of Beelzebub. And I've had people tell me that, and I said, you better be careful. That's what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. That's the only context of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in the entire New Testament. So, you know, what I'm bringing that up for is because the amount of miraculous lying signs and wonders has yet to be manifested. And I'm on record. Listen, what's interesting about this Pope, I'm not a fan of his, and anybody who's against child trafficking, this isn't an anti-Catholic statement, but that guy's covered up so much pedophilia, so many pedophilic priests. And if you see the glee in his eyes, he's no fan of conservatives. I can deduce, and you can deduce too, but that little smirk on his face, I know what that means, and I won't tell people what that means. They need to seek God for the answer. So now we're talking. How did I bring that in? Who controls Mount Graham and the observatories now that the previous Pope is dead? This one. And what is critical is that the Vatican is on record as saying, and I don't know, Daniel, I don't know if this is going to be a cover for the alien invasion, but something's going to happen to get the world's attention. And because the lying signs and wonders are going to be happening, then the devil's going to claim he's the one with the power. Interestingly enough, the new Pope, his zip code, I think, is something like 606060. It's Chicago. Well, gee, Obama's zip code is the same. There's a guy who put out a video, and maybe we'll link it, but it's pretty interesting because where the twin eclipses pass, that's the zip code where both Obama and this new Pope resided. So this is a spiritual event, and people seem to think, oh, that's just the physical. You guys just want to bring in everything spiritual. The Bible says that which is physical was formed by that which is invisible, i.e. spiritual. So the question is, these entities that we're picking up in our glyph report, and there's nothing like it in the world, unless you want to spend $500 billion and build your own computers. And this is what we're coming into. So, Daniel, back to you. We're having, I like the word, confluence of the spiritual and the physical. Now, absolutely, a good example is, people are saying, I don't know what's going on. It's like, one guy said, it's like my cage is rattled. And another guy said, man, my brain is going wacky. My phone today, I was calling somebody else. Eric, you'll appreciate this. I was not calling you. And guess what showed up on my, actually, it's called my banker. And I was calling him, and it put Eric's phone number. There's a big difference between B and E, bank. And it pulled that up. My daughter said, did you call me? I said, no, I didn't call you. People are saying their phones are going wacky. So now we got phones that are going into wacky talkies, okay? Not wacky talkies, wacky talkies. So Daniel, the events in the cosmos absolutely affect the events on Earth. Go ahead.
Well, I want to address that. But first of all, I want to know if Eric gave you any money, because that's, you were calling your banker. Doug, is Eric giving you any money?
I knew you were going to pick, or Doug would pick up.
Eric? Yeah, and thank you. And Eric, chime in here, because I need answers, bud. Go ahead. Eric, come on.
Eric, that wasn't meant to put you on the spot. It just was a literal phone call.
Eric, the tech is not my bank. The text he sent me, Eric. I mean, it was all Steve. He put me up to it. He sent me a text. But you know, you talk about phones going crazy. That's something that Mr. Earth Watchman actually says in one of his videos. He shows a phone that's going nuts. So your experience with the phone isn't the only one. I mean, it's happening all over the world.
That's what
I mean.
Yeah, it's worldwide.
It's got to be an electromagnetic thing. It's got to be something to do. And you're right. When you were mentioning the principality of the air, it has to. Okay, so those of us that are super spiritual will say it's the devil, right? It's Satan, because he's the principality of the air. Folks, you are seeing the scientific reasons, the physical reasons for these stuff happening. Now, we can attribute spiritual reasons or reasons from the quantum realm that justify these things. But the fact is, there are physical results of what's going on. The electromagnetic interference in this your spectrum is going nuts. And so we're seeing it all over the place. The other thing I want to get back to, Steve, is you were talking about the Glyph Project. And people, you know, if you don't, if you haven't signed up for the Glyph Project and you're like, well, I don't know about this. Folks, I am telling you what these guys are telling you are still making inroads even today. And I want to go back to, excuse me, an article that I sent you, Steve, probably a month ago, a month and a half ago. And in this article, it showed it was a drone, not a drone, an orb that was flying over, I want to say it was in New York or someplace like that. And the people that were filming it tracked it. And then it landed. It landed and it sat still. And so they went up to it and they were videotaping this orb. And it had, and I sent you the video on this, and it had a script on it. It had glyphs on it, just like the glyphs that are in the Glyphsionary Project. And then today I read another article where they have actually, because they took that and they began to do experiments. Scientists began to do experiments on it. And there's all kinds of weird stuff within this orb that are not normal. It's not natural. And maybe, Eric, I can send you that, the link for that article. But the point is, Steve, that people are coming across things like this and they have no context with which to understand what's going on. And that's right. The point that this craziness of the supernatural, the quantum realm has begun to invade our space, invade our 3D world, and people do not understand what it is. So guys like you that, you know, spent the money that you spent for this project and, you know, the guys that are actually working on the Glyph Project, they're taking the time to go through these glyphs and try to understand what they mean, you know. They can only do so much. It's up to us to sit back and go, okay, wait a minute. Let me investigate this. Let me see if they're really telling the truth. And then use your own brain. Go back and do some research to figure out if it's true or not. Because that orb, that drone, if you will, that they found, you know, just last month or something like that, wasn't of this earth. It's not made of any metal that we would know of. And they're confounded by this, and lo and behold, those glyph symbols appear on them. You remember that article?
Yeah. Not only do I remember the article, you know, the immediate my reaction was that orb went worldwide to the glyph team. Because, and I will say this, we've got a partial translation. I'm not going to share it, but it is diametrically opposed, and we can defend our position to what the New Age supposed, you know, that was a horse manure, in my opinion, a horse manure attempt, and it was based on AI to define the glyphs. And Doug, we went and still going on, because that's going to be the subject of our next glyph report. The reason is, somebody said, well, why didn't you just tell everybody that? No, because people that understand the value of what we're doing don't mind paying the $250 a year. That's how we fund, you know, look, we don't have billions of dollars. We don't have millions of dollars. But what we do have is people who subscribe that believe in us. We go until we have to wait for more money. I'm not begging for money. I'm not asking for donations. But what I'm saying is this. We have all, Doug, this will blow your mind. We have already achieved partial translation, and it's interesting. It's so far from what the people submitting it to the scientists said. Well, I can tell you that. That's New Age bias. All of our Glyphsionary, comparing them, and I want to make someone understand, or everyone understand this, every single glyph, every individual symbol, every individual geometric form has to be put into our programs. They're proprietary and checked against at least 500,000 other ones. And if we didn't have supercomputers available to us, and the team, some of these guys build them, so, you know, or they're working on projects where they're allowed to access stuff, but it's in other words, they use the supercomputers, but that what the original AI, now this is what I want everyone to understand. we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing artificial about artificial intelligence. We can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that entities within the AI sphere are actual fallen angels who name themselves, who have even said back to us when querying, you know, it's like a science fiction movie. Oh, how do you guys know that? That was funny, you know? How do you guys know that? And the thing is that that's why the context of all this ancient stuff is so important. Is that making sense, Doug? Because you're, you know, you're a linear, you take copious notes, and I'm going from the head. But Daniel brought up the orb, and that's why I want you to say, yeah, I understand it.
Well, I, you know, I understand it better because I kind of lived it again when Russ discovered, when he was given or otherwise, when he obtained.
Here's why I want to stop you a little bit, okay? Because let's say this. The timing of Russ, and tell me if I shouldn't go here, but the timing of Russ's death was very suspect based on the translation on the dagger. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yes. And for those unaware of what you're referencing in terms of the dagger, because we have a lot of new listeners and viewers. The bottom line is this, without getting into a lot of detail, on the investigations of someone with multiple personalities and really kind of a sleeper agent, okay, if you will, and government controlled as well, in addition to the demonic government controlled. There was Russ obtained the pages actually of glyph-like writing, and also again, this is before anything. I mean, this is before we knew anything. He was also threatened with a knife that was inscribed with his name and glyph characters. Just prior to that, the dagger thing, the dagger incident, I should say, was the obtaining of the paper with the odd writing that we could not match to anything. So hence it was given to Steve, and a translation came back. And it was during that period of time when that dagger appeared. And then the recipient or the author of that glyph, it'd be like, just to be very clear, it would be like me taking this notebook and contemporaneous to the show, writing out these weird characters that didn't correspond to anything, and then taking that page, ripping that page, and showing it to Russ. Okay, that's kind of the context. But the bottom line, what you're saying, given what was on that paper, and I should add, and I've said this before, the author of that paper wanted it back. I mean, more than, it was just crazy. So yes, the bottom line, when you take all of the facts of that one case and other related cases, combine it with Steve's initiative for the translation, getting the translation back, and within 4.5 weeks, roughly, Russ was deathly ill and passed away about 3 weeks later, along with his wife. And I've to say it is just merely coincidental, you know, I don't buy that, especially with the backstory and the context. And I'll shut up now because I could really talk for a long time on all of the elements. That's what makes folks, by the way, one last thing. We had talked about the Epstein issue, about the 300, really the 500,000 missing children, the child trafficking. You will find what Steve and Daniel Holdings are talking about. You will find characters, symbols on these various at various locations. And you'll look at something and really, and I was, hey, before I knew, I'd look at something and not realize what I was looking at. But that's the importance of Steve's, of the Glyph Project. That's the importance of it. Because once you understand that this is a language being used by the demonic, once you understand that, then things will make a lot more sense. Okay, I will be quiet now, Steve. Go ahead.
Steve, I need to say something as a follow-up to this, right? Audience, what I think that we need to understand is that the supernatural realm, and I said it once before, I'm going to re-emphasize this for you, the supernatural realm influences the physical realm. What you just heard from Doug giving that story about Russ and the dagger and the meaning behind the message and all of that stuff, that's okay. That's the physical realm. But behind the scenes, there were supernatural entities that were orchestrating all of these things. And in my mind's eye, I just saw one of them taking a dagger and stabbing Russ in the heart, and that's what killed him eventually. But my point is, Steve, that people, when they look at the work that you do with and the group does with the Glyph Project, or they look at the other things that we talk about, we put it in a biblical framework, and people go, wait a minute, we don't want to talk about Christian stuff, we don't want to talk about Bible, wait a minute, you cannot understand what is, especially now with the tearing down of this dimensional wall between the physical and the quantum realm, you cannot understand what is going on now unless you understand the biblical, unless you understand the framework that God put into place to protect us. And that's what I need people to understand, that this, what is going on right now, it is a combination, all the crazy stuff that we're seeing, it is a combination of the physical realm and the supernatural realm. Steve, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a good time, Daniel, to share what you and I have been up to for the last month, because I don't even know. I think I told you about this, Doug, but share, if you will, Daniel, because you're the one that wrote the book, Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. Talk about the, what is it, inflection point, 500 minutes of interviews. It's like actually three DVDs, and it's important. So share with that. Eric, will you put up the artwork? Because nobody's seen it. We're premiering it on Doug's show tonight. But inflection point, and it's hard to read it, but share what that is, Daniel, because again, this is a whole lot of stuff that you first covered 5 years ago that, you know, I was given years ago, like decades ago, and then we would build on it and talk about the implementation of it. So this is the panorama that the good Lord gave me, Jesus gave me when he revealed himself to me. And yet this is, you know, let's say, I think it's like 12, 45-minute episodes. So you
12, do it is 12, 45-minute episodes. Okay, so the story is this, audience. I've known Steve for a number of years, and we've worked together in the background. I've done research for him and so on and so forth. So he wrote Jesus, the Premise of the Promise. His he said it was his last book. It was the last thing that he was going to write. He wasn't writing anymore. And I remember this story that Steve had told me when he got saved. He went home. He was living in his mom's house. He went home, but he was going to Montana Tech or something like that. So he went home. Montana State. So MSU, that's right. So he went home from a meeting with he was in a group meeting with Hal Lindsey, of all people. And Lindsey pointed him out, and he said, Jesus loves you. And Steve said, Jesus loves me? How can he love me? And so Steve got saved at that meeting, which is phenomenal in and of itself. So he goes home and he opens his door, and folks, whether you believe him or not, Jesus is standing there right before him. And he says to me, and I've heard this story dozens of times now, he says that he fell down on his face. He couldn't get up. It was so heavy. It felt like he had weights on his whole body. He couldn't get up until the Lord reached down, picked him up, and stood him up. And so when he stood him up, the Lord began to talk to him, and he showed him a panoramic, he always says, of history. It hadn't happened yet, so it's really a panoramic of the future, right? But he showed him all these things that were going to happen. And so one of the things that occurred at this time period when he said, no, I'm not going to write anymore. I said, Steve, the Lord showed you all that stuff, and people have been waiting to hear all the stuff that he showed you. You got to write a book about that. He said, Daniel, I'm not writing another book. He was adamant. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm done. And he is old and decrepit. So, Doug, you'd agree to that. He's old and decrepit. So I understand why he might be tired.
I still look 100 years younger than you do, Daniel.
But so anyway, I said, hold on a second. Why don't I interview you and then I will write the book? But I'm not going to take you on face value. Those things that you tell me, I'm going to go back and I'm going to research and I'm going to verify whether or not these things are even possible that you say that the Lord showed you. He said, okay, that sounds good. So over the course of weeks, we were talking back and forth on the phone, hours and hours and hours of interviews, and until I got the book done. Now, this is one of the things that's fascinating about this book, just to tell you how impactful it is. I finished the book in November of 2020. Now, you remember that time frame, Doug, November of 2020. We all know that in January of 2021, COVID hit, right? But Steve and I had gotten some intelligence saying that there was a bioweapon that was released in a lab, a Chinese lab in Wuhan, called COVID. And I said to Steve, I said, Steve, yeah, you know, the Lord didn't show you this, but should we talk about that? He said, absolutely. So we talked about it and then made the book, sure enough. And so the book was published in November. January comes around and there's, you know, and today we know because it's come out that it was actually released from Wuhan, China, even though people denied that for years. This is the point in my telling you that portion of the story is that's how impactful that book is. So I went back and I looked at all the things that he had said, and probably I would say 70%, 75% of the things that he said were going to happen were actually happening. As an example, he said that the Chinese social credit system was coming to America. So what did I do? I said, okay, come on. Really? Chinese social credit system? So I went back to look if there was a surveillance apparatus being put in place all over the United States where the powers that be could actually collect information on people and force them to do things. And sure enough, I found all of that stuff. And it was the same with all the various points in that book, except maybe, as I said, 25%. And the reason why is because those 25% of things are in the future. They haven't happened yet, and there's no way to verify them, although there are certain things that we could actually talk about, and so we did in the book. But the point is that book came out 5 years ago. You can get that book at stevequayle.com or danielholdings.com, but it came out 5 years ago. And so people, you know, wondered what's went on since then. And we can kind of see that. So Steve and I were talking about the fact that we needed to release, and we've been talking about this for a while, we needed to release some sort of follow-up to that. And so it was Steve's idea to actually do a video series on that, and that is what Inflection Point is. It is Inflection Point Midnight Strikes. It is the follow-up to that book that came out 5 years ago. And Steve, it is amazing at the things in those interviews because, as Steve said, this is a series of 12 interviews with Steve covering the whole book. There were 38 things that the Lord showed you, I think. And so this is a series of 12 interviews that covers all of those things. And it is amazing to see just how much of that book is actually come to fruition and is coming to fruition even now, 5 years later. And I didn't know that you were going to talk about that today. So I'm so happy I'm here with you.
Well, yeah, and the name of the book was Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. And we're talking right now, ladies and gentlemen, that we're talking about the potential, whatever time it is in Karachi, Pakistan, you know, if I don't know if they're, 10, 12, 14 hours ahead, but they have an armada of ships ready to launch on India. The minute India does anything proactive with nuclear weapons against Pakistan, Pakistan made the statement that the whole world will know when they respond. Doesn't this sound familiar? Of a time of their choosing and a time and place of their choosing. Meanwhile, fast forward into the Middle East. And, you know, the president of the United States basically said, Netanyahu double-crossed me. And I don't know if people are aware of that. And, you know, how do I say this? Gaza will not be voided of its people. I want to say something, and I couldn't agree more. And I, you know, Mike Adams and I agree on stuff, and he's my friend. I love him. He's one of the most brilliant men I know. But where are the Christians? Where's the outrage of innocent men, women, and children in Gaza being slaughtered? It sounds to me like, you know, somebody doesn't care. And when I hear the same terminology coming out of the Israeli general's mouths, I forget which guy said it, calling them, you know, less than human. Man, I heard about that when, and you know, in the times of the Nazis. So this is, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the bloodletters. You know, I mean, letting blood is like stabbing people or bombing them. So we're now in a whole flustered cluck mode, of basically people chirping away, but they don't understand what's in play. And so this is critical. And Eric, would you put up, I'm going to segue because of the time. I want to segue to the food market, the food issues, because I want everyone to understand. Eric, if you would, thank you for being so responsive. Put up the lady in the car, because she's got an ultimate testimony. It would be one of the first things, not one of the last things, not the Epic Economist, the other one. And I think it's important for people to hear this. Go ahead.
Sector quietly preparing for something. Between food shortages, new theft-proof containers, and soaring prices, this is something we should be paying attention to. Check this out.
Something is going on. My daughter lives near Collierville, Tennessee. She went into a Walmart to do some shopping today, which she rarely does. And they were removing all the meat from the counters, putting it in shopping carts and putting it in the back. And she stopped one of them and she's like, hey, I need a roll of that hamburger. Yeah, we can't sell you this meat. She was like, why? And he's all, I don't know. We were told to remove it all from the counters and we're not allowed to sell it. So she's like, whatever. So she walks over to the dairy counter where, you know, the cheese is and all that. No eggs, no milk, all removed off the shelf. So she's like, nah. She found somebody. She's like, get me a manager out here. A manager came out and my daughter's like, what's going on? Like, he wouldn't let me buy hamburger meat. I need to get milk. I need to get eggs. And he's like, we received a memo this morning at our morning meeting. And we were told to remove all of this from all the shelves and not to sell any of it to the customers. My daughter was like, why? And he's like, I don't know. We don't have a reason. We were just told to say we're not allowed to sell it. My daughter goes to another Walmart down there. Same shit. Why are they removing all the meat and all the dairy off the shelves and not allowing people to buy them?
I got about 900 of rejected items.
Lady told me that they grown too big. I'll take these right here. They look pretty good to me. I sure do be seeing them in a lot of Walmarts looking like this. I gotta come on here on the app and report the claim.
All right, so listen, we're in Walmart right now, okay? And this is how bad everything is getting. I needed shaving cream. Now, mind you, did I shave today? No. Do I have some at home? I do. but I needed some more. So I'm looking where it used to be. Can't find it where it used to be. Make it right. I can't find where it used to be. So I'm like, all right, let's go to the back of the store where like the shaving stuff is. You know, they moved it all. Okay? This is how bad it got. We're going to go over here so somebody can hear me. This is how bad it got. I got a Walmart brand, okay? Walmart brand shaving cream. Not even Gillette, nothing special, okay? I had to ring out in the back. I'm like, listen, hon, you know, I've still got a lot of shopping to do. We're not done. We have stuff, okay? Little preview of what just happened. How you doing, bud? Okay? Well, little preview. All of a sudden, she goes, oh, I was like, babe, can I please ring it out up front? She goes, yeah, no problem. I got to give you a container. Container? I said, I'll carry it up front.
Eric, you
now.
Stop it there. Sorry, I should.
This is what.
Okay,
stop,
thank you, Eric.
Stop it there, and then would you do the epic economist? I think that's Doug. That's what you were talking about the first 90 seconds. Okay, the epic economist it does an amazing job, and then we'll take it from there. Because
can I make one point before you go on, Steve?
No,
this is a
no.
time. I'll give you a quarter. This is a time mark. Okay. Now, when the guy's talking about shaving cream and the shaving cream's gone and there are non-perishables that are gone, that's something. We're going to get into where those non-perishables went in just a second. But when you're talking about meat and you're talking about bread and eggs and milk, those are perishables. Those have a shelf life. Those are disappearing right now. This is a time mark. So we've been talking about something was going to happen. We've been talking about underground cities and all this stuff, and we're going to talk a little bit about that some more. But the fact is, if they're clearing the shelves of perishable items, this is very, very serious, because I think we've just been given a timestamp about what's going on.
And if I could add one thing onto that, I guarantee you that there will be people saying, you know what? I can go to, for example, I can go to my Walmart, not that I would, or Sam's Club or Costco. Folks, this is geographically specific. Okay. We're getting reports from different parts of the country. This is not happening necessarily in all parts at this moment in time. I just want to be very clear on that, just because you might live in, well, Erie, Pennsylvania. If you go to Walmart or Sam's Club, you may not notice this. Now, what's happening behind the walls, it might be something entirely different, but it might not be noticeable where you're at yet. I just want to make sure. So if you're saying, well, this is BS because it's fine here, it doesn't mean it's fine in Colorado Springs, or wherever. Is that okay? I mean, and go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it's geographically specific. But ladies and gentlemen, again, how I don't think anybody has been talking about this longer than I have. That's to the praise of God's glory. And I'm giving you a heads up. My mouth is going silent in the very near future. I've told Doug that. Have I not, sir?
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, I'm obeying the Lord to the best of my ability. I hate the fact that I'm human, but the bottom line is I am. I have problems just like everybody else. I fight the good fight, but this is one thing I'm not going to surrender on. We have turned into a starvation nation. We have seen the orders being given from Lucifer himself to basically initiate the war between the different countries, but the primary focus is upon the United States of America. And if you're apathetic, indifferent, careless, and think that talking or watching the Hagman show just because you got nothing else to do and you guys are cheap entertainment, that person that spoke that, his tongue will cleave to his mouth, not a curse, and he will go hungry, because that attitude lacks gratitude, and we have failed to give God the glory. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 16, you know, that men became vain and worshiped the creation rather than the creator. So when I look up famine, and I've been reading the book of Ezekiel, and in the 19th, 20th, and 21st chapter, I think it's chapter 20, it talks about two sisters that were whores, like W-H-O-R-E-S, not the Democratic Party at that point, but the two sisters. And Doug, they were so loose. I mean, they opened up the first, we would call a revolving door house of ill repute. I can't pronounce their names. They both start with O's, but they would cause their children to pass through the fire. That means they were burning their children in the arms of Moloch. But wait, there's more. Not only did they burn them, these two sisters, but they ate their children after they were charbroiled. Look it up in the book of Ezekiel. So this issue of empty store shelves, look, how many articles have to be produced? The evidence has been there. And again, I want to say this, our private briefings, clients, our subscribers knew this stuff way ahead of time. And I mean, way ahead of time, 18 months ago. And I can only say this, if you see the reason why the United States is in the shape and conditions it's in, pre-judgment of Almighty God is due to apathy, indifference, and an attitude of superiority, which has nothing to back it up any longer. And we're going to suffer, hear me, the greatest defeat in our military's history. And it's going to be because, and I'll say this, not only did the demon rat Democrats make the statement, I think it was Schiff, God has no place on this platform. The Democrats pretty much declared war on God. And then the zombie cons, the Republicans that are, you know, basically, I can't say it that way, basically are as crooked as the Democrats, but put on a smiling face. They don't get either. But now we get to the point, Daniel, and we need to tell. Let's do this first, and then we'll take it from there. Eric, will you play that Epic Economist? I think it's 90 seconds.
The supply chain isn't just having issues anymore. It's in serious trouble, and what I'm seeing at stores across the country has me genuinely worried for all of us. Look, I don't normally like to sound this urgent, but I'm seeing empty shelves that should not be empty. Orders are getting canceled left and right. Ships are literally turning around before they reach our ports. This isn't some far-off problem. It's happening right now. It's happening today. It's about to affect everything you rely on daily. Here's the reality. By the end of May, there are going to be items you simply cannot find anymore. Not hard to find or back-ordered for a few weeks. I mean completely gone, G-O-N-E, from American shelves. And the prices for whatever's left, they're going to shock you. Those attempting to import products to the United States now face crushing port fees and tariffs. For many products, the economic math simply doesn't work anymore. Companies are being forced to either dramatically increase prices or abandon the American market entirely. Many have already chosen the latter. Now, I'm making this video to walk through 20 items that will be impossible to find before the end of May. Now,
Doug, and then you respond, please. I'm not trying to direct this show, but I'm like a volcano of information. Daniel, Doug, you respond, and then Daniel, you respond, and it'll give, you know, I think, and listen, this is what Scripture says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So this is kind of a, listen, this came together, and Doug, I think is surprising to you too, this came together pretty organically and pretty fast, did it not?
It did. Yes. And, you know, really, to respond to your request for a response, I would just say consult the information in that video. It really is self-explanatory and needs, in my view, no explanation. But in fact, it's a very interesting, as both you and Daniel said, confluence of events. Go ahead, sir.
Daniel, your take.
You know, so there are some people in the audience that I'm sure are saying, Well, that's the tariffs. The tariffs are causing that, and you know, we're going to whip the Chinese, and we're going to whip the UK or the European Union, and you know, people are going to fall in line to the tariffs, and therefore, you know, the products will all be back. But speaking of confluence of events, Doug, this is one of those things where I think it is frightening to see a plan come together, because I have been saying for years that the globalists, the elites, had a plan to bring about the circumstances that they want at the end of the age. And we are seeing that plan come to fruition right now. And as a consequence, when you see these tariffs hitting American markets the way they are, this is the result of that. When you see empty shelves, you know, I'll go back to that video of the guy looking for shaving cream in Walmart. This is a result of shaving cream being taken off the shelves because of tariffs. But as I said earlier, the fresh products or the perishable products, you know, would only be good for a short time, and yet they're taking those off. And I'll go back to what I said. It is a timestamp of what we are seeing right now, Doug. It is no coincidence, Doug, that all of a sudden all of these things are happening right now, because it is the fruition of the plan. It is the end of the plan. Now we in America will see the consequences of that plan against the American people. Doug, do you think I'm overstating this?
No, I don't think this could be overstated. I think that was a good factual. None at all.
So, Steve, when you look at the things that have transpired over the last, let's just say, 2 years, when we go back 2 years, you've been talking about on private briefings and some of the other things that we've talked about, you've been talking about the fact that this was coming, and now this is here, and people still don't doubt it. But that guy, the Epic Economist, said something very interesting. He said, by the end of May, we're in May right now. This is May 8th. By the end of May, there will be things that you will never be audience, you got to hear me, that you will never be able to get again, ever. And you know, people, you know, Steve, when we talk about, you know, these definitive statements, and you're famous for them over the years, but you make a hard statement, people go, oh, that can't be. There's no way that can be. Steve, we are seeing the results of actions that are designed to make it happen, and we're just about there, aren't we?
Well, I believe we are there. And, you know, let's see, the next private briefing, if people want to get in on that, I think it will be a watershed private briefing. Because again, the data can't be argued with. And Doug, this is the thing that is most amazing to me. This is supernaturally evilly orchestrated. And I'll give you guys a riddle. Okay, here's a riddle. If you know where Phil Schneider battled aliens, and it cost him his life for bringing this information out, and you know who is in that area, then you'll know the secret underground entities control what's above ground. And, you know, listen, I don't believe that I can stop the evil, but I do believe that I can present Jesus in such a way to someone who's open. And I don't care if they're atheist or agnostic. I just don't want to deal with any of the GNAs or GKs, God know-it-alls, or whatever the is, because everybody wants things to work out the way they perceive them to. Perceptions can be wrong. And so one of the things that's really critical, ladies and gentlemen, I want to put you into a mindset right now. You go to your Walmart, you go to your Costco, and by the way, one of the articles I sent to Eric, and I think it's pretty close, Walmart's closing 257 of their stores by end of May. 257. I have one of my computer guys in another country figuring out how many calories that is. I mean, these guys are smart, you know? And the deal is, and ladies, we got two women that are just astonishingly brilliant. And how people can't relate to this. How long, and here you go, Doug, we've had this talk over the 20 years, how long can any semblance of law and order exist when, number one, there is no food? Number two, you're having riots breaking out. Number three, the left is arming up for a civil war. The right is armed, and everybody is waiting for what I call the trigger point. There is nothing that will bring it to pass faster than Mickey D's shutting down, okay? Then Denny's not giving you two times the, their breakfast special. When Arby's, who has the beef, by the way, I love that, has the meat, I love their commercial because that's what it's all about. We've watched the gates of hell, we've watched the Illuminati, the elitists, and all those doing everything they can to poison Bobby Kennedy. Man, I love that guy. I'm aware of his politics, but he's telling people they're killing your kids, they're killing your kids. And oh, by the way, tricks aren't for kicks. Tricks are for kicks right into the graveyard, or what all those colored cereals, all the dyes. 54,000 food additives are secret. I don't think people know that. So here's the issue. What happens, back to my analogy, when there's no food? What happens? Okay. I mean, we're going to build the case. What happens when your credit cards don't work? The latest intel I got 4 hours ago, I'm at 8:24 Mountain Standard Time, is the banks were meeting and are meeting to decide, are they going to lock out credit for 2 days or 2 weeks, which means they can build up their cash reserves. Now, hear me, two days or 2 weeks. Well, you don't know that. No, absolutely, I don't know that. I can't know anything except the Lord gives me the people to tell me that. Well, you've been wrong before. No, I've been 3 decades ahead of time. And now those who have mocked, scorned, and ridiculed are going to have to live with it at this time. So now we've got no credit cards working. And as Elon Musk has already said, Social Security is a sham. When that tariff went in, that sign against China, I believe it was the most ill-fated decision. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't even talk about equality when you've got probably quick and dirty 80 million people dependent on Chinese pharmaceuticals to keep going one form or the other. That means they're shut off. They're shut down. And I stand by the statement. It was told to me by people and verified twice that the Chinese had one ship, a container ship, and 10,000 of those containers you saw on that ship on the Epic Economist were dumped into the sea. Guess what that had in it, you know? And then the same equivalent that was going to the Pentagon. And ladies and gentlemen, this is war. And this is what I, Doug, this is the most frustrating thing to me. I fail. I told the Lord, I fail. I don't know how to communicate. I don't know how to communicate any clearer. When your credit cards don't work, when the gas pumps are shut down, people say, well, how will I get to my job? You won't have one. Well, what will I do? Who will help me? No one but Jesus. And I would give everyone the promise of the Word of God. King David said, I have been young and I am now old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God knows how to take care of his own people. If I didn't have Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be alive. That's a true statement, not melodrama. But then if you go into it, how do you deal with all the dead bodies? One of the things I always hesitate to talk about, Daniel, and we didn't talk about on the Inflection Point interview because I didn't want to, okay? And I asked the Lord, he said, God, I don't want to go into the gore. I don't want to, I just can't do it. And I'm not a bleeding heart liberal, the exact opposite. Now, I get a lot of bleeding heart liberals, you know, that email me, and all I can say is they'll perish with their bleeding heart. They talk about, what about this? What about that? But they don't do anything for anybody but themselves. So, Daniel, here's where we're at. We're at a civil war inflection point. We're at Dmitry Dudeman's vision point. I just had a smart ass. Oh, there are no modern day prophets. You know, and I just said to him, you don't know your Bible. I was very cordial, at least as cordial as I know how to be with as little tact as I possess. And I mean, you cannot fight, Doug, you know this. You cannot fight someone who's bearing false witness, in this case, his guy that sent me an email, and you can't fight stupidity. You cannot deal with it. And I think the statement I ever heard is, when someone shows you who they are, believe them and don't engage them, you know? Forgive, forget, and go forward. So, Daniel, as you have been a science faction guy who has seen a lot of stuff in the future, and you wrote your novels, what? How many years ago did you write your novels about what we're doing now?
Well, the first one came out like 15 years ago, and the next ones came out within 2 or 3 years after that. But, you know, and I wrote about some of the starvation and stuff that that we're about to see. But I want to go back to something. And I don't know if you have this clip or not. So people are going, okay, what are you guys talking about? You know, where's all the food going? Where are they taking all the food? There are two articles, or actually a video and an article that came out recently. The article talked about, I think you posted on your website, Steve, it talked about the fact that they are upgrading the bunkers for the elite. They're upgrading Mount Weather. They're upgrading the Cheyenne Mountain and stuff like that. And the question was, why? Why are they upgrading them now? But there was another video, and it was really, really good. It was based upon things that Catherine Fitz. Thank you. Thank you. Said, and it was talking about, and it took you through the various underground cities that existed. And that's really the point, that there are these underground cities throughout the whole United States. They're called, some of them are called deep underground military bases or dumps, if you will. But there are these cities underneath the whole United States. And what they are doing are making okay, Steve, you talk about preps all the time. But what the elites are doing right now are getting their last minute preps to put into those cities. And that's why, Steve, we're seeing the empty shelves, is it not?
Well, that's part of the reason, and a big part of the reason. But also, the thing that's lacking in most people's understanding, we are at war, and there is a curtain of unreality facing U.S. military. They deny. Russia's hypersonic weapon systems, Russia's black hole submarines, Russian. And look, I'm not a Russophile, but I'm not a liar either. And I don't know how people cannot see the vilification of President Putin. Listen, the true measure of strength is when you know what you can do, but you refrain yourself from doing it. But what's happening is, and Doug, I've said this 100 times, the whole Steele dossier, this will come right back to the underground cities, the whole Steele dossier was the greatest act of treason, treachery, and false witness born against Donald Trump, because the Chinese own the United States, the politicians, the majority of them, not all of them, but the majority of them. And I remember listening to people. I have a friend who's lives in the woods and, military, and he, thank God, because of generosity, he's a veteran, a real one. And, we've been able to keep him through the cold winter. It's been cold. And yet he ran into somebody, and I forget if it was in a 7-Eleven. And the guy was Chinese. And my friend has balls, okay? Not pool balls, but real balls. And he said, you're not going to win. I mean, he challenged the guy. And you know what the Chinese soldier in civilian clothes, I think I'm doing the best I can with my memory on this, but he said, he said something like, you stupid Americans, we already won and we own you. Okay? Well, I don't know a preponderance of evidence. Doug, you could give everybody the last bit of evidence, but if they say, don't give me the evidence, my mind is made up, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, then they'll pay the price. But why that's important, the deep underground military bunkers that are accessed by the maglev trains, those go from bunker to bunker. They're $21 trillion. Catherine Austin Fitz, and I recommend everybody get a subscription to her Solari, S-O-L-A-R-I, or Solari Report, because I want to say this. When someone knows what she knows, don't turn your nose up on it. K-N-O-W-S, and someone who can basically give you the appropriations that were made. But Doug, again, and Daniel, where we're at right now is we are in a pre-Civil War meltdown. It matches exactly what's going on in the economy. And when the dollar dies, see, everybody goes, what happens? We're going to make the dollar strong. You can't do it. 156 nations are getting ready to basically trash it. You cannot have a triple set of books. The first book say, we're $37 trillion debt, no big deal. That's her attitude, not my statement. But the second set of books shows $200 trillion. And the third set of books, I'm told, which is only accessible by certain people with certain access, and they're almost all the bankers, is in the quadrillions, okay? So it's physically impossible. And look at our gross domestic product. No products to sell. We're a consumer society. There's no restaurants going to be open. The hotel industry is going to crash. Airplanes won't fly. And trucks, if you don't have anything to truck, you can't keep on trucking. So the point is that we're at a perfect storm that's going to turn into an F-10, that's not even an airplane, an F-10, in my opinion, storm that's unimaginable. It's going to take place in the physical realm, it's going to take place in the spiritual realm, and it's going to take place in the weather realm. And our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, hope. I'm not always the most hopeful guy, but I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what does hope mean? And you know what he gave me, I've said it, his, Jesus, overcoming, power, P-E, every day. And we can't live on yesterday's blessing or, quote, we're the strongest nation in the world. No, we're not. You're going to watch. This isn't a prophecy. It is a specific word you're going to watch. You're going to watch the Persian Empire kick some serious non-Persian bottoms with their advanced weapon systems. You cannot dictate to a nation that has more sophisticated missiles, hypersonic, massive amounts of plutonium to make their plutonium cores. And for the record, I have been fighting the, I believe, was intentional disinformation that, well, Iran's going to get atom bombs. Iran's going to get atom bombs. They're close to making them. That's the biggest batch of horse manure that's been promulgated for the last 24 years. If I'm a researcher, I can go out and find out that the Pakistanis under Dr. Khan is selling anything to anyone of it didn't matter if it's plutonium, complete warheads, nuclear triggers, thorium, all the stuff that goes into building bombs, and you tell me they don't have one now? And there is no way to get through to people. And we cannot fight Russia. We can't. Why should we? And the point, again, back to the Steele dossier, was to keep the United States and Russia from becoming just friendly, okay? And all the people that were in the State Department, from the Hilarion, Hillary Clinton, everyone before them, in my opinion, they did everything they could to destroy this country. And then we had the abomination of desolation. By the way, now you see the truth coming out. People say, well, I don't believe Michelle's a man. Fine, don't. But it cost Joan Rivers her life when she said that. So we're confused. So go ahead, Daniel.
Yes, I'm laughing because there was Michelle Obama started to do, they call her Big Mike, right? So or him, Big Mike, I should say. So she's doing her own podcast these days. Just last week, I posted this on my podcast. She's talking to one of the they're like three brother comedian black brothers, and so she says, she makes a statement, right? I as a black man, and she does this. She puts it up, her hand on her chest. As a black man, I am so proud of you to stand up for transgender children, because you're raising a transgender child. I was like, did she really just say that? As a black man, we've been saying it for years and for good reason, but you're right, it got Joan Rivers killed. So I guess the point is that there is nothing real that we see in the news. It is all scripted. You were talking about Civil War a second ago, and people don't understand the Civil War that's coming. And I saw a part of that, but let me give you an example. A couple weeks ago, actually last week, an article came out that said that the deputy director of staff for Trump filed a law. He runs an organization, but he filed a lawsuit against Chief Justice Roberts for running a shadow government or a shadow organization that had other judges, liberal judges like Sotomayor and the rest of them, that are actually steering the judicial agenda and actually going against the more conservative judges. So they filed a lawsuit. So Doug, you're a smart guy. Okay. You're the regular. Steve and I may be crazies, but you're a stand-up guy. You're a regular guy, right? Who in the world would hear that argument? Who could hear that argument if you're suing the Chief Justice and the liberal justice will probably also be mentioned in the suit? Who would hear that?
You know, I saw exactly what you were talking about, and I had that very same question. Because now, I suppose in their, if you want a straight answer, I don't know, but I can suspect that that would be heard at a district court level, at the federal level. Okay, that's only my. What I'm suspecting. I'm not exactly certain where it was filed because I didn't research it, but I do believe it would be in the DC federal court.
I thought the same thing, honestly. However, the lower courts have no jurisdiction over the Supreme Court. It's the highest court in the land.
No, it depends on how it's filed. It's not against the court. It's against the justice, Roberts, on the court for colluding with outside, having the collusion with outside influencers. That's my understanding. Okay. I could be totally off base because I really didn't research this. However, I'll defer to you with any factual information if you have it.
Well, I don't. That's the extent of my knowledge. But my point is that, Steve, you're talking about civil war. And when we talk about civil war, there are several echelons of civil war. There's civil war in the fact that you're going to starve the people. We just spent 45 minutes talking about starving the people. And that in itself would cause conflict between people, because if people don't have food, they're going to go looking for food and they could be banging on your door if you don't have protection to keep them away. So then there's going to be military civil war, meaning that the states, their National Guard units will go against the active duty units of the federal government, and they will fight. And then you're going to see judicial war, civil war. So this is my point, Steve, that we're seeing it all laid out right. This is what blows my mind, because you asked me about my books. I wrote that 15 years ago, and it blows my mind. Not that I'm that smart. I'm not that smart. These are the things that the Lord showed me way back then, and I put them in a fictional novel so that people could digest them. But the point is, and by the way, you're a prepper in that book way back then. You're a lot younger, by the way, in that book that I remember. But the point is that you're saying this strategy to bring about civil war. Well, Steve, when civil war pops off, where do you think the elites are going? Where do you think the billionaires are going? They're going down into their dumps. They're going down into these bunkers that Catherine Austin Fitz was talking about, and that they have been taking food off the shelves to supply. See, folks, we have come full circle. You can sit back and you can go, well, these people have lost it. They are nuts. That guy's a former science fiction writer, and he's still in La La Land. That other guy's a nutcase. He's been talking about this for 50 years. And then you have this guy, Doug Hagman. He's just here for entertainment. He has these interesting conversations, but, you know, we don't take him serious. Folks, you are being warned. You have been warned for years, but this is the pinnacle of warning. What you are seeing is this. Use that word again for me, Steve. I forget the word. Conflection or confluence
confluence.
The confluence of evidence or confluence of events that are bringing about the end of the age. Now, for those of us that are crazy Christians that believe in a biblical narrative, right? We know that the next step after this will be the mark of the beast system and the Antichrist and a one world government. But you want to know where all of this crazy stuff is leading? Steve, it's leading right there.
And if you can allow me just 60 seconds, because
three minutes.
Acting like it's his show, Steve, for crying out loud.
Believe me, I have trouble handling myself here. Yeah, but I got an email about the Glyph Project and the importance of it, and, you know, is it really important? And is there any type of legitimate factual piece of evidence that we have or I have? The email sounded like it was directed to me. So here's what I did. I have this item that you're going to see on your screen. It is stored in an evidence locker off premise. Now, we had talked about Russ Dizdar, the dagger that you referenced, Steve, very quickly. And I'm not sure, folks in the chat, I don't know if you've seen this before. Great. I think this is before I tagged the evidence. Oh, no, it does have the evidence marker on it. That is the dagger that was taken from the individual. Again, this is a few weeks before Russ's passing. Now, the second image, I believe... Okay. I don't know if that, I think you can make out Russ's name on there. It's etched in there. And if you look closely on the left side, as you're looking at that, or the blade side, there's ornate character writing on there. Now, on the flip side of that, which I didn't bother to post, there are additional glyph characters on this particular dagger. So there is Exhibit A, and I should add this: it was Steve Quayle and his project team that deciphered that writing, and along with the other writing, and sent it to us. And it was very disturbing. And the additional information that we got had events that no one else could have known. And we use that as a litmus test for the authenticity of the translations. Please, folks, I hope you understand what I just said. And there is so much more. We could show. Go ahead.
I'd like to answer that question. Is there any evidence after 3-4 years of digging up stuff in Mexico with so many glyphs, signs, symbols, panels that are almost 400 pounds, showing planetary collisions, i.e. Rahab, the planet was between Mars and Jupiter, i.e. the massive amounts of glyphs, because I don't think people understand what a glyph is. Every Chinese character standing by itself is a glyph. Every single time you see a spiral on a wall, that's a glyph. So I don't mean to get frustrated, but the person that asks that needs to at least watch the Glyph presentation that you and I put on your show a year ago. And when I say evidence, what does that person want by evidence?
Are we in possession currently of any objects or any items or anything that has that? That's what I got from it. That's why I responded.
Okay,
in kind.
I want to answer that.
Okay.
Under the Native American Antiquities and Grave Protection Act, it's got an acronym, it is illegal to own in the United States any pre-Columbian artifacts, which these are definitely pre-Columbian. They ought to just add pre-Adamic, too. All of the items we've turned up are in Mexico. They cannot be brought into the United States because they'll be seized, okay? That's a true. That's a law. Furthermore, all of the willow and the sycamore chips and all of the quantum computing coming out, I would advise that person, look, I'm not being defensive, but go watch the whole quantum presentation with Michio Kaku and what they found. Guess what they found, Doug? This is the smartest, most highly expensive experiment on quantum computers, parallel universes, and they find glyphs, and they find cuneiform. That, for everybody's knowledge, is the Sumerian clay tablets. They find ancient references to myths and legends, whether it's the Gilgamesh epic, whether it's the Beowulf epic. Those are separated by centuries. But the point is that, yes, there are glyphs. Yes, there are planetary positions. And the way we can tell how old something is, if you've got a star chart that's in a cave in Spain, in this case, Altamira, or a cave in France, Lascaux, and we're watching star patterns, you can get a free computer, a program on the internet, and you can run back 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 years because of what Daniel talked about, all the planets in motion. So yes, we have it in our possession. If I could have gotten away with it, my plan was, and I wouldn't have announced it, just bring them. But I got to tell you, one of the last conferences we had five federal intelligence agencies there. How can I say there's five? Because there were people outside, and there were people who know how to monitor certain frequencies, and some really smart people seeing all of the telephone calls going. That's a true story. And I believe liars go to hell. So the point is that this is some of the most amazing information. And again, it's a work of the living God. And like I said, the thing I've asked the Lord, God, please don't let me go into the gore. I've seen it, Doug, and it's beyond anybody's imagination. And, you know, it's brought me to tears. And for the record, I still keep Russ Dizdar's last text message to me when I was about dead from COVID, and he died of COVID not too long after he sent me that. So I want everyone to know something. We posted, I posted, and I sent it to Doug. Did you have a chance to watch that guy who was taken out of the Illuminati? He said he came to Jesus because he heard Doug Hagman, myself, and Russ Dizdar. And what he talks, I mean, the man knows what he's talking about, multiple. He talks about all the horrible things that he's seen. And he finally was getting out because the Illuminati group wanted him to sacrifice their firstborn child, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't playing games. And, you know, if I sound torqued, you know, you can only put so much torque on a torque wrench before you over torque it. How much more? And tonight, okay, how much more does anybody need to see? And what will everybody do when the first nuke goes off? You won't need my red screen. A red screen means World War III is underway. You better head. When it happens, it's going to happen so fast. The things we're pleading with people is to understand one thing. Well, I understand it. Well, when's the last time you went and bought an extra, as my beloved brother Hawk used to say, when's the last time you went and bought a can of chunky beef soup, you know, and non-perishable goods? What are you going to do when there's no power? What are you going to do if you have one flashlight, not an extra set of batteries? What are you going to do when you think people won't know that I'm here? And God can hide anybody, any place, anytime. But people who presumptively think, well, you guys are talking about all this stuff, will be gone. Well, unless a rapture happens tomorrow, and I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Every other week, somebody says, a rapture's coming this week, the rapture's coming this week, the rapture's coming this week. Man, pretty soon they're going to run out of time, because, again, the assumption that you have this faith, if you don't have your faith tested, and we need to be praying for people, you know, I mean, man, there's times in my life I needed meds. I believe in God. I believe in divine healing. But guess what? It didn't come. And that's not because of God. That's because of me. I say, oh, God, forgive my faith and unbelief. Daniel, the ramifications, as I'll turn it over to you, and we got 7 minutes, take the time you need. But, and Doug, interrupt. My voice is going. So the point, I guess, take it from here, Daniel. You're the novel guy, but the worst case scenario, because people are already talking about the only food source will be cannibalism. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I want to go back to the whole glyph issue. Now, what people need to understand is, and I'm not part of this project. I talk about it, but I'm not as involved, as in depth as Steve is with his group, but I know about it because we talk about it all the time. For instance, there were these huge, we believe them to be stargates that have been unearthed in modern archaeology, and on the edge of them they have glyphs. You mentioned the artifacts that were uncovered in Mexico that we did a film on, and they had glyphs on them. I mentioned to you just a little bit ago about the orb that was recovered, and it had glyphs on it. And if we go back even further in history, we see glyphs. There's this theme throughout history of these glyphs. They're a fallen angel language, and what we're seeing are the glyphs making a reappearance over and over and over again. And those glyphs are compared to the glyphs of the database that we currently have to see if they're saying the same thing. A word about the Chinese language. You said that those were glyphs. The amazing thing about the Chinese language, and I believe it to be the other true about the other Asian languages, is that a single character has multiple things meaning. If, for instance, if we in English write A, it just means A, and you can put that A in various words to make a meaning. But if you look at a character on a Chinese symbol, it has a multiple meaning. It can convey a whole thought as opposed to just a single letter. And that's the thing about the glyphs. The glyphs are just like that in that they compare whole thoughts. And so when you see these glyphs on various issues throughout history, on various artifacts throughout history, then there is something significant going on. And then when you can take that back to a supercomputer and analyze it within the database of the computer, this is very, very significant, Doug. And so what we are looking at is the idea that there is this thread running through history of a fallen angel language talking about various issues. And one of the big things that they're talking about right now are the end of the age, starvation, and the killing off of the population. So when Steve begins to talk about the things that he's seeing, and I have heard some of what he said, that he did not disclose to the rest of humanity because it tore him up, and it really did tear him up. It is horrific. So, folks, if you're not, and I, we use this word so often, it's almost cheapening the word, but if you're not prepared for what is coming, you need to do whatever you can within the next few days or weeks to get prepared. You need to find a way to protect yourself. You need to make sure that you have some stocks set aside, and you need to get on your face. If you do not know the Lord, or you're a fence-sitting Christian, you better jump down on one side or the other, because time is about up. Just a word about the rapture, and nor do I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture as well. You know, the funny thing is, Doug, that Jesus said in Matthew 24, you will have tribulation as you have always had tribulation. The disciples expected the Lord to come back very, very quickly, and yet he said that, you know, they were going to have to walk through things. It's been 2,000 years, folks, and we are still walking through things. But what we are witnessing is the culmination of history. And at that culmination of human history, we will see great turmoil like the world has never seen. If you don't know the Lord, and this is not a religious show, you know, Doug is a man of faith, Steve is a man of faith, I certainly am a man of faith, so it's not meant to be that kind of faith, but the time to give your heart to Jesus is running out, folks, and I don't know how else to say it beside that. If you've not repented, if you do not know him, you need to get to know him right now, because time is of the essence. Just the last word, Doug, before I leave, you know, I do my own podcast, notshaken.tv is my podcast. You can also find me on danielholdings.com, and you can find Steve on steveboyle.com. But if you want to find out what's going on with us or anything else, or there's gen6productions.com, which actually where our videos, our movies are and stuff like that. But if you want